Today on Straight Talk Africa, an in-depth look at Startup Africa, a non-profit U.S. organization. The Delaware-based initiative empowers Africa's young men and women with the needed skills and tools to start and build businesses on the continent and the African diaspora. That's coming up next right here on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa, live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. I am Sheka Sali.
And hello to all our viewers and listeners on the continent and elsewhere. I'm Ian Bior, your social media reporter.
Today, it's a conversation on the significance of Startup Africa, a non-profit U.S.-based organization.
And coming up later, our audience has weighed in on our topic through emails, Facebook, and Twitter comments. We'll reveal some of them ahead on Straight Talk Africa.
Africa has the fastest growing, most youthful population in the world. More than 60% is below the age of 25. Will Africa seize the tremendous opportunity to empower her youth? Or is the continent's future ticking a demographic time bomb? My colleague, Paul Sisco, has more on the significance of the Startup Africa.
With 200 million people between the ages of 15 and 24, Africa has the youngest population in the world. According to the UN and others, if the trend continues, those numbers will more than double by 2045. Good news, right? Well, not unless the continent's unemployment trends turn around. Despite six of the 10 fastest-growing economies in the world, the unemployment rate in sub-Saharan Africa is devastating. And according to the African Development Bank, in most African countries, youth unemployment occurs at a rate more than twice that of adults. According to research, the youth unemployment rate in sub-Saharan Africa is climbing again after decreasing slightly to 10.8% earlier this year. However, the unemployment outlook for youth across the continent is mixed. While youth labor force participation is highest in sub-Saharan Africa at 54.2%, the region's enrollment rate in secondary and tertiary education is the lowest among all regions. Sub-Saharan Africa also has the highest worldwide youth working poverty rate. Working poverty rates among youth in sub-Saharan Africa was nearly 70% in 2016, translating to more than 64 million working youth in that region living in extreme or moderate poverty. That's living and working at just over $3 a day. An organization that's doing something about those worrying unemployment trends is Startup Africa.
Erastus Mongari, the co-founder and executive director of Startup Africa, says
its mission: to inspire and support youth in the building of business skills and endeavors fostering financial independence, creating jobs that can grow African economies. For the last 6 years, it's conducted successful business planning contests for African youth. Startup Africa's bold vision is of a dynamic continent full of big, bold business ideas. Startup Africa has been guided by one overarching goal: creating opportunities for youth entrepreneurs, educating, mentoring, facilitating aspiring youth entrepreneurs with their business ideas, strategies, and plans, helping them get the seed money they need for success. These young people are well on their way. This group of young Africans are making a real go of it in Silicon Valley. Their stories are featured in a newly released Voice of America documentary called Beyond the Unicorn. It can be seen at www.voanews.com. Startup Africa's annual entrepreneurial conference gets underway Saturday, October 14th at American University in Washington, D.C. The always well-attended event brings together businesses, entrepreneurs, and professionals who exchange ideas and strategies to build successful partnerships. This year's theme: Accelerating Diaspora Entrepreneurship for Africa's Growth. Paul Sisco, VOA News, Washington.
Thanks, Paul, for that report. Joining us here in our Washington studio are two distinguished guests: Toya Berije, Acadia Power Renewable Energy Specialist. She also is a founder of Aleg Consultants. And Erastus Mongari, co-founder and executive director, Startup Africa, a non-profit U.S. organization. Well, I honestly have to say, Toya and Elastus that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host the two of you for the first time on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.
You're most welcome. Later in the program, we'll give you, the audience, a chance to call in with your questions and comments. The number to call is 202-619-3111. Use country code is 1. Let me come to you, Toya, immediately. The last time I checked, you were born in Kenya.
Yes.
And you pretty much grew up in Uganda.
Yes, I did.
And you have spent most of, really, of your youth, your adulthood, in the United States of America.
Yes.
So how do you remain connected with the continent?
So ever since I moved here, I've always been interested in what is going on in the continent. My family still lives in Uganda. Mm-hmm. So I do have the privilege of visiting them and, staying in touch with what's going on ground. I'm still African at heart. I very much so rooted in that.
And what initially really inspired you to get involved in what you are doing right now?
So I actually was fortunate enough to work on an internship with the UN mm-hmm. in my early 20s. Mm-hmm. And I got to visit a rural area in Uganda that was lacking electricity. And just looking at the struggles there in the health system, where it's facing, in terms of facing challenges with renewable energy or energy scarcity in health clinics, to me that was really a trigger to say to myself, how can I help? What can I do? So then I was fortunate enough to finish my master's degree at Columbia University, mm-hmm. where I focused on sustainability management with a focus on renewable energy. So that for me was the pivoting point in my career to really find solutions in rural areas.
So we're talking about an Ivy League graduate here who somehow would like to make a difference to ordinary people?
Absolutely.
Where specifically did you do your internship in Uganda?
In Ruhira, in Isinjiro district in the uh-huh. western part of Uganda.
Very interesting.
Yes.
What about you, Elastus? You studied, at least from a bit of research I have done, international relations, correct?
Yes.
And sociology.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you come to get into this?
Thank you for having Startup Africa and myself at your show today. Very mm-hmm. honored. Mm-hmm. For me, it was coming to the U.S., 6 months into being in the U.S., reading about an 11-year-old boy who had shot a woman in the city of Wilmington, where I stay, because the woman had made a comment about a bicycle he was riding. As a newcomer to the U.S., that was kind of new. And as I tried to seek answers, my college advisor led me to volunteerism at the Boys and Girls Club in the city of Wilmington. And once I did that, I did a year of service with a program called AmeriCorps, which is similar to Peace Corps.
Yes.
And once I did that, I never looked back. I started realizing that through community service volunteerism, I can actually have an impact. What I was doing in Delaware, I started doing back in Kenya, where I come from, organizing people in the state of Delaware who are Kenyans to go to local AIDS walk, and from there raising funds to support AIDS orphans in Kenya, and just continued to do that over a number of years. And then eventually, in 2011, founding the Startup Africa as a result of the post-election violence that happened in Kenya in 2007, which I happened to have witnessed when I was there.
You actually started in 2011?
Yes.
So what have you accomplished or achieved so far? Surely you must have achieved some reasonable certain things, because otherwise you probably wouldn't be, still doing the same thing.
A lot has happened. The most important thing is over 7,500 young people between Kenya and Uganda have learned about entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. And now they know that they too can be job creators versus being job seekers. We know that unemployment problem in Africa is a big one. Most of our young people are going to college seeking the degree, and by the time they're graduating, they don't know what to do. the jobs that they are seeking are very few. And therefore, for us, we are teaching them how to be fishermen and fisherwomen through using the ideas that they come up with so that they self-employ themselves. And by employing themselves, they have actually created opportunities for themselves and other people. And since then, our program, for example, we started called the Diamond Challenge Africa for High School Entrepreneurs. In 2013, we started with 10 schools in Kenya, and currently over 300 high schools in Kenya are participating. And as a result of that, we have grown into Kenya, Uganda, and this year Tanzania has come on board with over 20 schools for their pilot program. And out of the competition itself, the most important thing that has happened, for example, in Kenya, Kenya Vision 2030 has embraced the program and made it a flagship program. The Ministry of Education this year gave us a partnership to scale the program to all the high schools in Kenya. And then last year, the African Union gave us a partnership to scale the program to other parts of Africa in years to come. So that is essentially what has happened as far as that is concerned. But as also as we look back, we're also looking, for example, at a partnership we had with the U.S. Embassy in Nairobi, where we were invited to do workshops to young people in five counties, mostly the ones which had been affected by the 2007 post-election violence. And as we went there, we met young ladies who were asking, what is Startup Africa doing to support women entrepreneurs? That gave us an inspiration to start an annual entrepreneurship conference in Kenya. We have done it two years so far. And the most important thing for us is we are connecting young, those who are aspiring to start businesses, or those who are already in business and they are kind of stuck and they want to go to the next level, with people who they can relate to. Because sometimes when some of these forums and conferences are done, people bring high-end level people who just come to speak to them for 1 hour and then they disappear. So for us, we are looking at the mama mboga, the lady who's selling vegetables in the village, who can relate to somebody who's probably owns a little duke, a little shop,
so that they can relate,
the ordinary people. Because we want the impact to be from bottom up. We don't want it to be top bottom, as we have seen in the past. So those are some of the things that we've been able to achieve.
Erastus, someone might say, you make it sound so simple. Is it really that simple?
It is not simple. I would definitely say that, especially when you live in the U.S. and you're trying to do your work in Africa. But I would say that Startup Africa has been lucky because in addition to what I do with Startup Africa, I'm employed full-time with the state of Delaware. I'm a civil servant.
A nine-to-five job.
And so what I do it after hours. But more importantly, we've been lucky because we have a team of professionals who have believed in our mission in Kenya and Uganda and currently Tanzania, who are saying, we believe in this. We believe in the young people of Africa. We want to help you achieve your mission. So those are the people, actually, they use their own time, their own resources to help us do what we do. I remember, for example, in 2013, we got a pro bono grant from USAID, and it sent Accenture Management consultants to work with us to write a strategic plan. And during that period, the consultants asked us who was our biggest funder. When we told them we didn't have any funder, we had never applied for a grant from anybody, they couldn't believe it. But again, when we told them it was the power of volunteers, it was the power of the people actually who believe in what we're doing, then they just told us, they asked us the question, what would happen the day we go after a grant and get the grant? How much more impact can we have?
What about fundraising? You do some kind of fundraising. How does the public react?
So annually we do an annual entrepreneurship conference, which is coming up on Saturday, October 14, for example. And when we used to do it in Delaware, we also used to do an annual dinner, an awards dinner. So we utilize those two events, the proceeds from those two events, to support some of the activities that we are currently doing in Kenya and Uganda. So those are the activities that we've used in the past to raise money for, like, for example, holding the pitch competitions. In April, for example, we had some 11 students and four teachers who came to the U.S. for the global competition.
From where? From Kenya?
From Kenya. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in fact, they were hosted here by your colleague Vincent for a show. And out of that, that's how we were able to support them to come here and participate and open their eyes, see Washington, D.C., so that as they go back, they'll be able to be the leaders that we want to see back in Africa.
Very interesting. Well, before pausing for a short break, we would want to remind you that Straight Talk Africa is now streaming live on Facebook. To watch our show, just enter the keyword Straight Talk Africa and don't forget to share it with your friends. We are on Twitter and we are tweeting live. Follow us at VOA Shaka. That's VOA Shaka, and join in on today's discussion with your questions and comments. Don't forget to use the hashtag VOA Startup Africa and we'll air some of your comments later in the show. We'll be right back with you, so please don't go away.
Able to touch on things that are important to people on an everyday basis. We hope that our viewers are getting inspired when they watch our show. They're getting a view of the world from a different perspective, things that perhaps are not in their immediate vicinity. Today, I could put in on the show something that is a little different, a little unique, and this gives me that inspiration to come to work.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. What is your opinion about today's topic? Call us at 202-619-3111. U.S. country code 1. When you call, remember the following. Ask only one question. Keep your comment brief and turn down the volume on your radio or television. Now let's return to Straight Talk Africa.
Now, let me come back to you, of course, Toya. Can you tell us a little bit more about your pet project? You call it ALEG?
AREG.
AREG.
AREG Consultants. So AREG Consultants stands for African Renewable Energy Investment Growth Consultants. So we started last year, and the reason why I started this was, like I said initially, I wanted to find a solution to a problem that I had seen.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem was, is there a correlation with mortality rates and lack of access to electricity in rural health clinics? Mm-hmm. And my motive was to look at primarily pregnant women and little babies. Are they getting their care they need? So I actually hired three interns from Gulu.
Really?
Northern Uganda.
Uh-huh.
And the emphasis was to hire youth, young adults, and actually teach them something different, right? So this actually goes back to what Startup Africa does, promoting youth. So I hired those interns.
You hired them?
I hired them.
You paid them?
I paid them.
Where did you get the money from?
Fair pay out of my pocket. But mm-hmm. So I worked with them, and we collected a good number of data. And I started to analyze the data, and I saw that there were actually trends that with lack of access to electricity, health clinics were closing. So they could not offer services after a certain period of time, which then would make it harder for the staff to conduct their jobs and provide good health care. So my solution was to actually electrify these health centers with solar power.
Mm-hmm.
Because harnessing electricity from the sun is, to me, is something that is a modern day, I wouldn't even say it's a modern day revelation, but it's something that we have plenty of sunshine in Uganda. So we are working towards that and conducting a sustainable model mm-hmm. for these health centers so that not only can they receive revenue from the generation of the electricity, but it's a model where these units are mobile. So once those health centers get access to electricity through the grid, we can move the solar systems to another center that actually needs them.
So what were the results, or what are the results so far?
The results were, we tracked it over a couple of, we tracked health centers that actually were fairly old and fairly new, and we found that some had actually had to close down
mm-hmm.
because of that. I am working to see which ones have been electrified. So there are things that we still need to work on. But yes, there is a correlation between lack of electricity and being able to provide adequate health care.
So what about Startup Africa? What's your involvement in it, and how did you, in fact, come to know about you?
So Startup Africa, like anyone who is really thirsty to find out what's happening in Africa, I was one of those individuals. I had just moved to Washington, D.C., and I was really looking to connect with the other young African entrepreneurs. And I was fortunate to meet Erastus and to find out about Startup Africa. And I actually attended their fifth annual conference last year at George Mason University in Virginia.
Right.
And the turnout was phenomenal. I was so inspired. I left the conference very inspired and excited to see that there are other Africans in D.C. doing amazing things in the continent. So Startup Africa was, the conference itself was just a platform to really learn about what other people are doing in Africa. Mm-hmm. I know it's very difficult to stay in touch when you're in the U.S., but there are different ways you can do that. And it is very clear with Startup Africa that though they are based in Delaware, there's so much activity in sub-Saharan Africa.
Very interesting. Can you also tell us, it seems to me that you do have a relationship with Delaware University.
University of Delaware,
and Kenyatta University?
Yes.
In Kenya?
Absolutely. So University of Delaware is my alma mater. And I'd just completed a certificate course in project management. And the professor was teaching it, invited me to go back and speak to a new class on what my experience was and how I was using what I'd learned. And in the process, I shared about what I was doing with Startup Africa. I was using the project management certificate with Startup Africa. So out of that, he ended up inviting me to meet another professor, Professor Dan Freeman, at the Horn Program in Entrepreneurship, because he said he had a passion for young people as well. So three of us had a conversation, and as a result, Dr. Freeman was able to invite other people to the table, and the Diamond Challenger for High School Entrepreneurs pitch competition was born. 2013, when we did the competition, it was schools from the state of Delaware and Kenya. And from since then, it has continued to grow. Other states have come in. Other countries have come in into the pitch competition, the global pitch competition. And for Kenyatta University, we were able to sign an agreement with them in 2015 when President Obama was in Kenya. And essentially, we realized that our young people, as much as we are preparing them to do pitch competitions, come up with these ideas, they will need some additional support, mentorship, incubation services. So Kenyatta University has the Chandaria Business Innovation and Incubation Center. And through that agreement, our young people from high school can actually receive those services. And we have teams of high school students actually who are currently receiving services, incubation services at the center. So these are the kind of things that for us, we believe that if we give them the support that they need without them going to pay somebody money, then they will be successful. Because we know the university exists for that very purpose. We have university students, we have professors who are offering these services to the young people for free, so why not? So that's how we've been able to link our program and the University of Delaware and also Kenyatta University.
You mentioned Chandaria. Is it Chandaria?
Dr. Chandaria, yes.
Chandaria, is that a member of the Kenyan community, of the Indian ethnic community?
Dr. Chandaria, Manu Chandaria, is an industrialist, one of the biggest business people that we have in Kenya and
in
other
the region.
Yes.
He's an Indian, correct?
Yes, he's an Indian.
The 44th tribe of Kenya.
Yes. You got that right.
Very interesting. Talk to me about some of the success stories so far. And we've been talking about entrepreneurship and stuff like that, but in fact, we have not talked about the specifics.
Yes. Absolutely, absolutely.
Can we talk about the specifics? Are you talking about, for example, Jua Kari or something that competes with Jua Kari or adds value to that?
Absolutely. So the one that I have a passion for that I like was the very first person that we helped. A young lady who we met in one of the slums in Nairobi, and she essentially was asking us for money to go feed her kids for the day. And then my friend and I invited her to a cafe in Nairobi. We had a conversation with her because we said, we can give her the money to feed the kids today. What about tomorrow? Mm. And of course, we know that tomorrow probably could not have come. So we realized, we were asking her, what are your aspirations? What do you want to do? And she said, for me, I really would like to go into business, because I know if I go into business, then my kids will have food every day. So out of that, we gave her a loan of $20, in equivalent Kenyan shillings, 2,000 shillings.
$20.
Today, that woman is a successful businesswoman. She started selling the sukuma wiki, tomatoes, onions. Now she's the one who's going to the farmers, bringing it into the city to sell. That, to me, is what I call success.
She started with a kiosk?
Yeah. She started selling by the side of the road, mm-hmm. and then she went into a little kiosk. Mm-hmm. And then after that, now she goes into the farmers, she buys in bulk, brings and sells to the people who are like her when she started.
Does she have a pickup now or something?
Yes, she does.
Really?
She has a pickup, yes.
Incredible.
Yeah. And then the other one is a gentleman I met. He was just straight from high school. And he was introduced to me. We were having lunch somewhere. And then I shared with him that I'm in the U.S. So he took interest in the U.S. This gentleman, he has been following world politics. He's a political science student. Mm-hmm. So he knows so much. So as I sat there listening to him about how much he knows about the world, I was amazed. So I said, what are your long-term goals? What do you want to do? He said, for me, I want to start a business. What kind of business? He didn't know what he wanted to do. Today, he is not only a consultant, because he consults for politicians mm-hmm. who want to run for office. So he does everything from start to finish. But also, he has started a company called Borderless, which essentially, you want to book a hotel in Kenya. He has been able to network with so many hotels, something similar to Expedia here, where he can link you with any hotel, tell you what the cost is in any particular time. I was just speaking with him the day before yesterday. I newly opened a hotel in the coastal part of Kenya. He has been hired to do the marketing for it. So again, young person, he had a dream. We were able to help him, give him information. And mostly what I gave him information. I did research here. I told him, this is what other people are doing. And for example, the political consulting that he does, I told him, in the U.S., political consultants do A, B, C, D. So I did a bullet point paper for him. And then from there, I started talking to people. And before long, I also trained him on communication, because I realized that was his weakness. So I told him, when you go to meet people, how do you dress? Make sure you have your dress up
presentable.
In your suit,
mm-hmm.
presentable. And when you go there, keep your time, sell yourself, because if you don't sell yourself, nobody's going to sell for you. And that is something that we see a lot of people. They have great, great ideas, but they don't know how to market. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of young people that we keep running to into in the continent. They have great ideas from IT, farming, etc. But when you ask them, what are you doing? Who are your customers? They don't know. Mm-hmm. So that is where we come in, by offering them information that can help them be successful. And another one that I remember, which I always laugh about, was in Kisumu. We had been invited by the U.S. Embassy in Nairobi to go do a workshop there. So we're doing a workshop to over 600 young people. And this gentleman, during the Q&A...
Over 600?
600 young people.
What mostly, is the criteria for someone to be eligible to somehow, I think, benefit from your services?
So for us right now, it is come. Contact us. Most people who we've helped contact us through our website. So they go, they fill in a form saying that they're looking for certain kind of information.
The website.
The website.
So that requires someone to be in high school or college or something of that sort.
You'll be surprised that
our young
people are using phones.
They have internet cafes. They have, you can use your phone. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So they're doing it, of course. Yeah. So essentially, the people we've been able to help, that's how they come to us, through our website.
That's interesting. What about the ethnic factor? You told me you come from Kisii, you're a Matoke man.
Matoke man, you got that right.
Do you somehow favor people who are eating matoke or what?
Not at all. Luckily, for me, I was born in a place called Kericho.
Uh-huh.
Kericho is a tea.
An incredibly beautiful
very
tea
beautiful.
Area. I spent a night there.
Yeah, there you go. So you understand. So that's where I was born. My parents are from Kisii, but I was born in Kericho. Born, schooled, raised in Kericho.
You were born among the almost Kipsigis?
The Kipsigis people.
Yeah.
So until I migrated to the U.S. So in Kericho, I grew up, we had everybody. We had the Kikuyu, the Luya, the Luo, everybody. So the ethnic factor has never been an issue for me.
The mixed grill.
Yeah, so for me, I'm anybody, as long as you're from that country or from that continent, I want to deal with you.
I mean, you've diversitized it to Uganda. You included us as well.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
You are tuned into Straight Talk Africa. We'll have more of a discussion in a moment, including our social media segment. So please, don't go away.
Like Voice of America on Facebook. Follow VOA on Twitter. Join VOA on our YouTube channel. Like, follow, join VOA.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. Call us now with your questions and comments. The number is 202-619-3111 and the U.S. country code is 1. Call us direct and we'll call you right back. Remember to turn down the volume on your radio or television and keep your comments brief. Now back to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githui-Ewart, and welcome back to Straight Talk Africa, live from Washington. It's time to bring in our social media reporter, Ayen Bior. Take it away, Ayen.
Well, thanks, Shaka. We received excellent social media feedback this week on youth jobs. Today, we look at Startup Africa, which is a nonprofit Delaware-based organization that supports youth in building business skills that foster financial independence, create jobs, and grow African economies. This leads us to our question of the week, which asks, how would you develop, cultivate, and promote the employment of Africa's youth? Well, let's start the conversation with a tweet from Vincent Maloba, who writes, self-employment is the best way. Youth should get loans from financial institutions to start up Africa. Of course, the reoccurring question here is how accessible are these loans and grants? It will be interesting to see how our panel reacts to this tweet. Now to our social media comment of the week from Facebook fan Kasweka Mutonga in Zambia, who thinks that the solution can be found in schools. He writes, as Africans, we need to change our educational syllabus because it's more theoretical than practical. Skills training should top our agenda, and a change in our attitude is also key. Entrepreneurship is the best way out, but obtaining business capital is usually a big hindrance. African governments should introduce entrepreneurial support policies of zero tax for business startups. As I'm sure you can imagine, there has been a lot of comments about the role of the education sector in preparing young people for the workforce. With that in mind, let's take a look at this comment from Facebook fan Oscar Kumukama from Uganda. He says, it is a long-term strategy, starting from restructuring the education sector to creating a supply-driven economy. Meager African budgets, except for big military expenses, should be revisited to not only create room for innovation and growth, but also to create a platform through which the demand for labor can increase. And our last Facebook comment comes from Frederick Ojiambo in Kenya, who writes, we all know how the economies of Britain and the USA grew from a strong agricultural base to industries. If we encourage our youth to invest in agribusiness today, I think we will be killing two birds with one stone, food shortage and job creation. Well, a lot of ideas and opinions here, and we want to hear from all sides. A reminder that we appreciate all of the audience feedback. If you're a new fan, drop us a line at africatv@voanews.com. To comment on our Facebook page, just enter the keywords Straight Talk Africa. Be sure to visit us online at voaafrica.com. To join our YouTube channel, sign up to VOA TV to Africa. Follow us on Twitter at VOA Shaka. Straight Talk Africa streams live every Wednesday on Facebook, or simply go to VOA's Straight Talk Africa TV program page on our website. To watch us live on your mobile device, download the VOA mobile app. Now let's take a look at what's on tap for next week's program. On the next, Straight Talk Africa, a look at the Grace Hopper celebration. The conference is the world's largest gathering of women in technology. We'll recap the events in Orlando, Florida, and speak with African women working in the industry in Washington, D.C. and elsewhere for their perspective on the next Straight Talk Africa. Well, that's all for today's social media segment. Shaka, you and the guest have a lot of social media comments to discuss. Back to you.
Well, thank you very much, Ayen, for sharing some social media reaction with us. Well, today, of course, we are talking about the significance of Startup Africa, a non-profit U.S.-based organization. Our distinguished guests are Toya Barije, Acadia Power Renewable Energy Specialist, and Lastus Mungare, co-founder and executive director of Startup Africa, a non-profit U.S.-based organization. Well, again, Toya and Lastus, I have to say, frankly, that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host you two for the first time on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you for having us.
You're most welcome. Toya, your reaction?
So I actually just want to pinpoint one of those comments, and I believe it was Kasweka Mutonga from Zambia. So she really hit the nail on the head when she mentioned that the education syllabus needs to change and include a skill set that prepares the youth to actually go out and be prepared for the workforce. Mm-hmm. So I really am a firm believer in vocational training. I believe that it's very important because a lot of us go to college, we get our master's degrees or our college degrees, but there really isn't a structure for how do you get a job? Mm-hmm. What skills are you good at? So I think really identifying that and incorporating it in our educational system in sub-Saharan Africa and the rest of Africa is really, really important and will be the pivoting point for our youth.
What about someone who might also say that perhaps in addition to what you just said, what is also needed really are fundamental changes in our attitudes and mindsets?
I absolutely agree with that. I know a lot of times, especially in Uganda, a lot of the jobs are in agriculture. Mm-hmm. Now, for the youth, telling someone to go and be a farmer is not the most attractive thing. But there are things, there are ways that you can look at it creatively, right? You can market, you might have a position in marketing, but how are you marketing those products? How are you selling them? Mm-hmm. That in itself is a job, you know? But people need to be a little bit more open-minded and think about how they can form creative employment rather than being very narrow-minded and just thinking of, you know, I don't want to be a farmer.
Somebody owes me.
Exactly.
A desk job.
Yes.
What about the issue of networking?
So networking, you know, a lot of us have that mantra, networking, networking, networking. So that is the way that you channel your voice. You voice out your ideas. You have conversations with people who actually might change your mindset and might actually help you think larger. Mm-hmm. So networking, I believe, is very, very important to our youth. And they need to be taught to how to network, you know. Meeting people and actually voicing what you are interested in and actually retaining the knowledge that is passed on to you is very, very important. So that is something maybe that we can actually include in the syllabus as well. How do you talk to people?
What about you, Erastus?
I think I would echo what Toya said around education. Definitely Africa as a whole, all the countries in Africa, should look at redesigning their syllabus from primary school all the way to university. Mm. Entrepreneurship is not something that our young people should experience after they've graduated from high school or college and when they don't have anything to do, and then they start looking at that as a second option. But I've seen, for example, from the programs that we're running in high school, the mindsets of our young people are now changing. Whether they want to be lawyers, engineers, scientists in future, now they have that mindset of, when I graduate, can I take this and start a business? I was talking to some teachers in June, and most of them take their students to something in Kenya called the Kenya Science Congress. These young people come up with wonderful, wonderful ideas, but they end at the national competition. The winner is given a plaque, they go back to school. Or their certificate, they go back to school. Then I ask them, what about commercialization of these great, great ideas that are coming up? Why are we not introducing that? And that is where entrepreneurship comes in. And that's where Startup Africa comes in, because now we're telling those teachers, if your school has gone through the Science Congress, we need that idea in our pitch competition. Because now we just give them the curriculum, they incorporate that into their science idea, and they're able to bring it as a commercialized idea that actually could be implemented down the road and open an industry. And the more we do these, our young people, by the time they reach college, they're not going to be the same. And I bet you, for example, we have several young people who are currently university students. They're not operating the same way, just like students who never had an experience of the program, just like we have. We have some actually who have started small businesses while they're still in college. For me, that is a joy, because I know the program has worked for them. And if it's worked for them, imagine what would happen when they finish the university, or even before they finish the university. What else would they be able to do? To me, that's what gives me joy. And then also look at, for example, the movement of the TVETs, the Technical Vocational Education Training Centers in Africa. We send our young people go learn to be a plumber, an electrician, a carpenter, etc. At the end, the parents come for a graduation, they've been given a certificate, and they go home. Is that enough? It's not enough. We need to start teaching them, when they are still in those classes, how do you commercialize? How do you entrepreneurialize your degree or your certificate, so that by the time you finish, your toolbox is going to be your business? Because, for example, if it's an electrician, you can go to the village, especially with the rural electrification that is happening in different parts of Africa now. Why should we wait for the Chinese to go and do that for our people, when our young people are being trained to be electricians right in Africa?
So, you know, it's very interesting that you raised that issue, because I once had the opportunity to interview a Kenyan president, and I've interviewed actually several in the past, even though there have only been four Kenyan presidents at State House Nairobi, and he was complaining about European engineers, and he was thinking of replacing them with Chinese, that Chinese would probably be better. Then I said, wait a minute, Mr. President. You have a university here which had a reputation of being, the engineering department used to be called Gorane Heights, simply because students who are capable of becoming engineers would come in, and the first year they would simply be discouraged to look forward to becoming engineers. Why can't you instead probably bring those Chinese or what have you to teach your own people to become the experts about their own country, their own soil? Because frankly, I think they would have to be probably more patriotic to Kenya or to Africa than foreigners.
Exactly.
You very know? True.
Very and those true. Skills remain in the country.
In the country.
Very interesting.
You know, when they have infrastructure projects and they leave, that's it, you know. But in your case, the skills stay in the country. So they can be
country.
Passed on.
Yeah. Now, if somebody was watching this program somewhere on the continent or elsewhere on the globe, and they wanted to benefit from your contributions, how would they access you? Can you, for example, share your website or something that they could actually use to connect with you?
Absolutely. Our website is www.startupafrica.org. Startupafrica.org. So with that, and then we're also on social media at Startup Africa, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram. So especially for the young people, because social media is their way of communicating, you'll find us there.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
You know, Toya, I know that you come from a very interesting neighborhood called Kariro.
Yes.
I once visited that beautiful mansion of your father, who happened to be a friend of mine, Prince John Ivarije himself. In fact, I'm surprised that you are so modest. You don't even say prince, Toya, lady. If someone young, really, was in Kariro neighborhood, watching you right now or listening to you, what would you tell that particular youth? What would she or he need to do in order to succeed?
Okay. So one of the first things, go on to Erastus' website. go to an internet cafe with your shillings and go onto the website, which is startupafrica.org, and fill out that form. But also,
what if I'm, for example, digitally challenged?
Digitally challenged.
How do I access you?
Digitally challenged.
Well, how do I succeed?
Well, in that case, you would need to ask someone who can help you. I'm sure there would be someone to help. But one of the things that I tell youth is find mentors. Find people in communities that you respect, that have been successful, that you can talk to. And I know in Africa at times, it's hard to do that, to find people that are willing to talk to you. Mm-hmm. But with all the no's that you get, someone will say yes. Someone will take interest.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Well, you are tuned into Straight Talk Africa. To participate in our conversation, please call us at 202-619-3111. US country code is 1. We'll continue our discussion in a moment, so please, don't go away.
The lyrics could be French,
English,
Portuguese,
Bantu,
Arabic.
It is the beat,
the African beat that counts.
The beat does all the translations.
It cuts across all languages and gives us the understanding that this is the African beat.
It is so distinct
and adhesive.
It binds us together.
African Beat on the Voice of America. For more information, visit our website at www.voanews.com/African Beat.
If you like today's show, please write and tell us what you think or give us some suggestions. Be sure to tell us what station you're tuned into. Our address, Straight Talk Africa, Voice of America, 330 Independence Avenue Southwest, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. Or send us an email at africatv@voanews.com. Log on to our website at voaafrica.com. Or post your comments on Facebook. Keywords, Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Gidhi Ewart. And of course, this is Straight Talk Africa coming to you live from Washington. Let me come to you immediately. Erastus, talk to us about the upcoming major conference at American University on October 14th.
Thank you. On October 14th at American University, we will be having our sixth annual entrepreneurship conference under the theme of accelerating entrepreneurship, diaspora entrepreneurship for Africa's growth. And why that theme? Essentially, we find that there are thousands of us from Africa who are in the U.S. and other Western countries, very successful, from PhD holders all the way down to nurses. But one of the things that we found that was lacking is we're not giving back. Mm-hmm. We're not giving back in terms of knowledge transfer. Many times people might say we don't have the money because all the bills are taking all the money that we're earning. But what about knowledge transfer? That, to me, is really the background under which we are holding this conference, so that those who are in business or those who are aspiring to go into business in this country, or they're already doing it, how do they start transferring that knowledge to uplift our continent? Because a lot is happening in the continent right now, but who are the people who are benefiting now? It's not the Africans. It is everybody else. So that is where we, the Africans in the diaspora, need to step up. We need to start looking at ourselves and ask, how do we come together and raise some serious investment dollars so that we can go do some of those projects that outsiders are doing? How do we start going into our government and lobbying them to start supporting the diaspora? Because every time these African presidents come into the U.S., for example, and they meet with the diaspora, they're always encouraging them, come back home, do business back home. But the policies they have in place are not supporting the diaspora who want to do business. But we can actually make a difference if we start coming together in a conference like what's happening on Saturday the 14th. Our keynote speaker is the African Union Ambassador, Dr. Chihambori, Arikana Chihambori Kuo. She's going to be the opening keynote. We have another speaker from the Save Kids Worldwide, Taureen Brooks Crippy. And finally, the closing remarks will be done by Minister Suzuki from the Japanese Embassy in light of the conference they had in Africa around business last year. All of this is tied to let us get the knowledge. And once we have the knowledge, and if we've succeeded here, let's start asking ourselves, how do we transfer this to make a difference? Or in a case like Startup Africa, where we're working with young people, how can we start mentoring our young people? Because if we say we're not going back, or we're not going to start businesses there because we are scared of risk, how do we start looking back and uplifting other people? Because if we do that, then we'll start seeing the Africa that we want, other than complaining all the time about the politicians and what they're not doing.
That's very interesting. The AU ambassador, the doctor you mentioned, she's been on this show a couple of times, and she hails from the Republic of Zimbabwe, mm-hmm. and studied medicine in the United States, and she's been here for about 4 years.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Let's go to the lifeline of the show, which are the telephone callers. Good evening, Joseph from South Africa. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa. Joseph, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Go ahead, please. What is your question or comment?
My comment is...
Hello, Joseph? It looks like a problem. Let's go to good evening, James, in the Ugandan capital, Kampala. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
256.
Hello.
Hello, Ndugushaka.
Yes, please.
How are you?
I am hugely terrific. How are you?
Very, very fine. This is Samuel. Let me go to the young lady, Toya Barige.
Yes, yes.
What message are you sending to the youth in sub-Saharan Africa to start up for self-help projects like agriculture? How can they secure loans from local banks? And are there entrepreneurial guidelines to secure capital for these youth to start up their projects? Thank you, Ndugushaka, and welcome back to the station.
You're most welcome. That is Sam, a man from Ruti, actually.
Oh, okay.
He would have been your subject if you had been a queen.
Okay, so thank you so much for calling in, and thank you for your questions. That is a great question. So one of the things that I would suggest for the youth is really, first of all, doing your research. Look at what is available on ground. And one of the things primarily that have helped a lot of youth that I know is looking at incubators. The incubators will definitely give you guidance on accessing funding. They will provide you the tools to actually execute your business proposal and plan, and that is more of a structured way to get funding. I know there are a lot of incubators, so it's a matter of researching and finding what is accessible to you.
Elastus, you pretty much, you guys make this pretty much simple, really, and yet, of course, we know that it is not simple. Can you share with us some of the most challenges that you have encountered and how you were able to overcome them, for example?
I would say the first challenge is we, the diaspora Africans, we don't like supporting each other.
Really?
Unfortunately.
Why not?
I can't explain.
You find a lot of Ethiopian restaurants, for example, in Washington, D.C., and I think part of the reason they are probably there, at least the primary audience or clientele, I would suppose, has to be Ethiopian.
Ethiopians are an exception, and I've actually seen them in action in D.C. and Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
they must have a formula that we should borrow from. And I keep looking, for example, in 08 when President Obama was running, they rallied behind him. And I'm not very sure that after Obama got elected, several of them got into his administration.
They actually did. In fact, I think one of the highest African-born official in the Obama administration actually happened to be, guess where?
Yeah.
From Ethiopia.
From Ethiopia, yes. So, and the Kenyans, we should have rallied behind him. We rallied behind him from the
You had
the
man
the
in
screen.
1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Yes, but we were nowhere to be seen. Again, we stayed off the most important thing.
So if we were to talk to the diaspora, the African diaspora, really,
yeah,
what are the ABCs of this game, really?
Number one, our numbers matter. I've learned that from some key people in this country, some people who have been from there since the civil rights movement. They always say numbers matter. And in this country, we have thousands of Africans who are U.S. citizens, but sometimes we don't even vote in the states where we live in, or we don't come together in numbers. So those politicians, the only time they'll listen to us is when they see the numbers.
Well, so you don't even know your congressperson
exactly,
or your senator.
Exactly.
So that when you probably need that person, you can actually have unfettered access to them.
Access to them. So I would say to my diaspora brothers and sisters, let's unite, let our numbers matter in whatever we want to do, so that when we go to our elected officials in the states where we live in, they will listen to us.
Give the numbers legs so yes, that they can walk.
So that they can walk. And then more importantly also, let's look back in our continent. Africa is in dire need of the knowledge that we have. So let's not be comfortable by saying a successful teacher, engineer, doctor, banker in the U.S., but the villages where we come from are still crying for us. All of us came from some kind of village or a school that actually molded us to be the people that we are today. All it takes is just look back, lift one student up, go furnish one classroom. You shall have made a big, big difference. And for me, that is my cry for my fellow diaspora. Don't wait for the politicians to do it, because they're not going to do it. But we, coming together, 2 people, 5 people, 10 people, 100 people, we can create a movement. Create alumni associations. For example, social media, WhatsApp now, you can have 250 people maximum. Utilize that to create a movement so that we can make a difference in Africa.
What about you, Toya? What is your message? The final word.
So I absolutely agree with you, Erastus. I think that definitely mobilizing and working together in a unified way. I think that if you want change, you can't sit around waiting for it to happen. You have to start, you know, gathering people for the same effort and really strategize in that way. I know that he mentioned that Africans really don't like to work together, but if you have a common ground, we have to. That's the only way we can progress, and really investing in our youth, because they're the ones that are going to be the beaming light for Africa.
Very interesting. You know, there's a saying that all of life is about action and passion. Mm-hmm. And to ignore the actions and passions of a lifetime or your generation is to risk not having lived at all.
Mm.
You're just occupying space, really.
Yes.
And it seems to me most of us on the continent, really, we occupy space. That's why we are poor, because we have incredible resources.
Mm-hmm. We do.
Well, on that note, thanks to our distinguished guests, Toya Barije and Erastus Mongare. Thanks to our affiliate stations, along with our viewers and listeners. For many of our Voice of America radio affiliates, learning English is coming up next. And tomorrow morning's Daybreak Africa with James Bate. On behalf of the Voice of America, thanks for tuning into Straight Talk Africa. In the meantime, get better, not beta, Africa. And please remember to keep the African hopes alive.